pursuing a natural lifestyle for yourself and your family? Are you concerned about the standard American diet and options available for healthcare? Are you curious about herbs or health or already practice home herbalism? You've come to the right place. My mom, Naomi Kilbrick, is a Christian clinical herbalist and owner of Laura Chi Wellness. She teaches simple ways to live in a more healthy way and to work with plants to promote and restore health. Welcome to the Family Herbalism Podcast.
Welcome back to the Family Herbalism Podcast and to students of Herba Remedium Herbalist School. I'm so glad that you're all here. And as you can see, we're doing things a little bit differently around here. So whether you're tuning in through the podcast and listening to this episode, or whether you are watching it as a student of the school, you've probably noticed things sound and look a little bit different. And that's because the podcast program that I've been using for the past couple of years is doing things differently, and so I had to come up with a new way of recording and releasing these episodes. And thankfully, my husband has a lot of experience with editing and recording, and so he volunteered to do this project and is super excited about it, and I'm very grateful because I think that it's pretty clear the quality is already a lot better. And so I hope you're able to enjoy this more as a result, and I'm sure that you will. I also want to remind those of you who are perhaps new to the podcast, jumping on for the first time, that these episodes as part of season 4 are going to be shared as part of the Family Herbalism program that is offered by Herba Remedium. So if you're listening to this early in 2024, enrollment starts in June for the Family Herbalism program, and you'll be able to start the live classes in August. It's a one-year program, and there are live classes every month, and then there are pre-recorded classes and all kinds of resources, reading material, assignments. It's a great program. I highly encourage you to check it out. And after August, it will also be available as a pre-recorded program, so that if you are jumping on at that point and you've kind of perhaps missed the boat for the live enrollment, that's not a problem. You can sign up at any time, participate in the conversations between classes, and be able to do the whole program at your own leisure with your busy family, your busy life, and just jump in wherever you are at. So I encourage you to check that out. The link will be in the show notes so you can visit the website and see what the program is all about. I also want to give you the heads up. This is a really cool announcement. I found out that the Family Herbalism Podcast had been nominated and voted in as one of the top 100 podcasts for Maine for the year 2024. And I appreciate all the reviews that you guys have been leaving in the podcast app, all the emails I've been receiving. It's because of you that the podcast has been noticed by others, by FeedSpot, who did the voting and made the list of the top 100 podcasts. I think it's such an exciting step for our show here, and I'm grateful for each one of you and the feedback that we've received from all of you. So that helps me to know that we're on the right track, and that I've been able to offer resources that are helpful and encouraging to you. And I always love being able to hear from you and hear your ideas and your requests. It means a lot to me as well. So usually on the podcast, I like to talk about a specific area of concern, maybe a health condition or a set of symptoms, or maybe even focus on a specific herb that's really important to you or that you're interested in. But today I want to hit pause on that and actually focus on an area that's really important to me, and actually one of the areas that drew me to herbalism in the first place. And that has to do with self-autonomy in healthcare. I think that through the centuries, we have seen that there is this cultural, maybe not stigma, but this idea, this training that's kind of become ingrained in us, that we have to give our authority to other people to make decisions for us and for our families around healthcare. And I think that especially for those of us who are training to become home herbalists, that it's really important we understand where authority in healthcare actually lies. And so it is my hope that by the end of this episode, that you'll realize how important it is that you understand where your authority comes from and that you feel more comfortable taking on the role of a home herbalist for your family. Many of you guys know, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, that I used to work as a birth doula. And that was actually one of the key features of the work that I did with parents that was really important to me around creating informed consent, enabling parents and supporting parents in learning about what their options were and what kind of clarifying what their priorities were in creating their birth experience for themselves and for their baby. And we would make these birth plans where we would talk about all these different options that parents had, and then they would present this to their doctor or their obstetrician or their midwife and have this conversation with them about their personal preferences. And some of the things that would be on these birth plans were things that maybe their doctors didn't really care about anyway, such as what they used for birth control, not birth control, what they used for birth pains, for comfort, and things that, like what they wore to their birth environment, maybe even who was present during the labor. But then there would be other things that might be more controversial, like vaccinations, or perhaps what it would look like if they had a cesarean, whether they held the baby right afterwards or not, whether or not they had a water birth, especially if they were induced or had to be or were recommended to be monitored more closely because of health concerns. But in all these conversations, it really came down to who had the authority to make these decisions. And we would have these conversations about how to stick up for themselves during the birth process, how to make it clear to the staff who was in charge of these decisions that were being made. And there was this assumption that the doctor could either grant them permission to do what they wanted or deny them the permission to do these things. And even though the movement seemed to be heading in this direction of clarifying that parents were in charge, there was still this general idea that, the doctor might still deny permission. The doctor might still say, no, we can't do that. It's against hospital policy. This is just the way we do things. Or even a concern that parents' values would be just not appreciated or maybe even scoffed at. And this was something that definitely happened. So this was kind of the background of where I began working in healthcare around generating this understanding that parents were really in charge from the start around their decisions as parents for their own health and for that of their children. So then that was before I started having kids. So we fast forward to when my husband and I started having children, and we faced the same challenges that my clients did when I was attending these births. And then after the births were over, then we had to deal with decisions around pediatric care and what to do when our children were sick or when they got injured. And we decided relatively early on that it was really important to us that we do a lot of our healthcare things at home, that we took charge of our children's, the decision making around our children's healthcare at home. There wasn't really a whole lot that we wanted from a pediatrician. We, made some decisions early on that meant that there wasn't really a whole lot they could offer us except for confirmation, perhaps, that our children are well. But, I think parents know pretty well, for the most part, if their children are doing all right, if they're healthy and well and happy and things are moving in the right direction. And so, there was these decisions that we made. But I think there was also this hesitation that I felt, especially as a young adult, that maybe I didn't have permission to do that. Like there was this always this part of me that wondered maybe I would get in trouble, you know, if I made the wrong choice or if something were to happen that I didn't really know what I was doing and what if that backfired. And so when we finally did see a pediatrician, at that point in time, my oldest was about 10. And I remember the pediatrician that we saw who was totally on board with all the natural health things that we had been doing for our children, just expressing awe that we had made it that far without a doctor's care. And just, he was so curious, like, what about this? And how did you do that? And it was such an interesting conversation. And confirmation, yes, that we had made the right choice. But, you know, at that point in time, I think I had developed more confidence that we were on the right path and that I had made the right call as a mother to be able to work with herbs for most of our children's needs. And I think that just that cemented this idea for me that as a mother, that working with herbs really was just a really helpful tool in enabling me to do what already came naturally. You know, as mothers, our natural inclination is to soothe and to comfort and care for. We nurture and feed our children and we care about their education and we tuck them in at night and, you know, we soothe them when they have broken hearts and we try to do all the right things. And for us, having herbs and having traditional natural ways of caring for our children, whether that's, you know, growing plants in the garden, growing our vegetables and, or, you know, how we clean our homes with natural products or, you know, being concerned about the type of clothing our children wear, whatever it is, it's out of this desire to look for tools and resources that will enable us to do the things that just come naturally anyway. So there was this, I have a few quotes that I want to read to you, and I'm just starting with this one that came from a book that was instrumental as a beginning herbalist for me. It's called The Herbalist's Way, and it's written by Nancy and Michael Phillips. And they said, "It is our mothers and grandmothers gifted with plant knowledge who make us feel better." They said, "Women are the keepers of the hearth. The responsibilities of cooking, tending the herb garden, drying the herbs, making medicines, and brewing the brews traditionally have been met by their loving hands. Women tended to the birth of babies and the care of the sick in the homes of our extended families. The unique ones heeded a call to serve their wider communities. Few written accounts of these village herbalists exist, yet we feel them deep within our bones and dream of them in our dreams. They inspire us with their personal strength, their wisdom about human nature, their intimacy with earth, and a seemingly direct line to the Creator." And, you know, I think of as a Christian looking at Bible verses that encourage us as mothers to be keepers of the home. And also we can see throughout the Bible that God has always had a big heart for health and for healing and restoration and completeness, wholeness of spirit and of body. I mean, just it really doesn't take much of a Bible study to discover these verses. And we know that healing is important to him, and also that he has instilled in us, especially as women, the desire to extend that healing to others. So it comes naturally to us to take care of our families, and by extension, it comes naturally to share that healing and that heart of healing that God has for people with our families. And so, you know, then we bring that into the tradition of healing within our country, and we see that right from the beginning, just from a practical standpoint, you look at the pilgrims. You know, this might seem unrelated to herbalism, but it really isn't, because early on, when people made the move to come to this new foreign territory and start their own farms and grow these villages, they had to be autonomous in their healthcare. They had to be resilient. They had to take care of themselves. They had to grow their own medicine. And so it became, right from the start, herbalism was a way for them to create and maintain health for their families. And, you know, so this view of traditional herbalism is really supportive of holistic healing, because we also have to be able to trust our heart and trust our gut in healing. We can't, you know, we haven't been able to always depend on others to tell us what is right or what is wrong. And even though it's not really popular in today's socialism speak, not in a political sense, but as in a social health sense, it's not necessarily popular to talk about self-autonomy. A lot of what we discuss today in social health terms has to do with depending on each other. But I think it's really necessary to understand the difference between codependence and interdependence in this sort of system, because we need to have healthy relationships with our healthcare providers where we're not depending on them to tell us what to do, but rather we're working together to create health for ourselves, for our families, for our communities, and everywhere else in society. So in that way, we're able to depend on our providers for additional help when we need it, but we're also understanding that original healing, and you know, that really comes from the day-to-day work where we're taking care of ourselves and our families in very holistic and supportive ways. And all of this centers around the idea that we're in charge of our own healthcare, that it really starts with us and it starts at home. So I think it's really cool that actually the very first book that was published in the United States was a book written by a home herbalist for other home herbalists, or actually housewives who were assumed to take on that responsibility of treating, you know, basic common illnesses at home. It was written during a time where the territories were still being expanded. You know, we had the original colonies, but there was still, you know, doctors were few and far apart. It was difficult to have access to them. And those that were available were really either self-taught or apprenticed to other doctors. So, you know, medical care didn't look then like it does now. And herbalism was a really integral part of early medical care in the United States. And so this first book was written to housewives with the assumption that they were going to be using herbs to help their families. It was called The Complete Housewife, and it was written by Eliza Smith. And you can actually find it as a free PDF on forgottenbooks.com. I'll put the link in the show notes as well. Promoting health and restoring health is something that we really should be naturally doing for ourselves and for our families. When a client comes to me for help, I make it clear that I'm not diagnosing anything, I'm not prescribing anything, I'm not telling them what to do. If they don't do anything that I suggest to them, that's not my job to follow up and make sure that they're doing what I put on the list, right? I'm giving them resources. I give them resources, I give them ideas, I give them a direction that may be helpful to them, and then it's their job to take that and go with it and do what feels right, pick and choose that from the things that I've listed as options that may be well suited to them, because I don't have the authority to tell them what to do, nor do I want the authority, but it's not my job. The authority to make these decisions comes from within ourselves. And I also don't need to empower my clients to do these things, because they already have the power to do that. They already have the right. It is part of our identity as created beings to be able to choose how to live our lives. And that includes our healthcare. It is literally coming from within yourself to be able to do that. And you also have the authority to pick and choose what foods you eat and what herbs you work with or don't work with, how you live your life with the environment that you're in, the work that you do, the relationships that you have. These are all areas of health that are really important that influence our well-being and which we have authority to influence in our own lives. These things are all really important, but there is no license for doing these things. We can't issue the permission to instigate these things and be in charge of them in our own lives. It comes from within each of us. And so I think that herbalism is a tool that we can use to continue to use that internalized authority. If you have the authority to do that, then you need resources to make it happen. And herbs have always been a medicine of the people, by the people, for the people. They were created by God as a gift to enable us to do the work that is our responsibility. There is an old saying, a home herbalist in every family and a practicing herbalist in every community. And I think that's a beautiful vision of the way things should be, where we always have someone in our family that we can turn to for guidance, but understanding that ultimately it is our responsibility to enact that, healthcare for ourselves. Looking back even further than early colonial days, we have a very famous man among the herbalist community. His name was Nicholas Culpepper. He was a doctor in England in the 1600s, and this was during a very interesting time period where there was the plague that was happening and also some different interesting government changes that were happening. And so he came into play in the medical field during a very interesting time period. He was a doctor, but he was also an herbalist. Really, herbalism was a key component of medical care during that time anyway. If you looked at the English physician, which was really a materia medica or a collection of herbs that were considered the standard medicines of doctors in those days. There were also other things that were not herbs in the English physician, but you could see that herbalism was really important to the doctors of their day in England in the 1600s. And he was trained in the use of these herbs and in preparing these herbs for other doctors. He actually started out running an apothecary for other doctors to draw from, and then ended up becoming a physician that helped other people. But he was most famous for his writings. And at one point, he was assigned the task of updating the English Physician, which was the only government-approved book of medicines that were allowed to be used. If the herbs were not included in the English Physician, then they were not permitted to be used by doctors or others for the well-being of people in their communities. And so he was asked to make the updated version, the latest version of the English Physician. And he became famous for that because up until that time, it was only approved to include specific herbs and recipes or other ingredients that would be included. Some of them were a little bit bizarre, but they were allowed to include the names and the ingredients in the recipes, but they were not allowed to explain what those recipes were for. It was supposed to be the job of the doctor to decide who was going to use what remedy, what blend, and for what purpose, and the dosage, and all of that. None of that was included in this materia medica because it was feared that if, the common person got a hold of this book, that they would then decide for themselves what remedy they needed, and they would start creating their own remedies, and then the doctors wouldn't be needed anymore. And so Nicholas Culpepper comes along and he says, you know what? The doctors that I'm working with, they're really not that intelligent. And some of them did have some very strange ways of testing people and making diagnoses that were a little bit bizarre. And so he decided that it really made more sense for the common housewife to be able to decide for themselves what remedies they needed. And so he published the updated version of this book, complete with a description of when it would be a good time to use certain recipes, for what purpose they were included in the book, what dosages and what forms they should take these herbs in, and basically just gave this huge how-to manual that was accessible to the common person. And so this created quite an uproar. It was attempted to take the book back, but by the time, you know, that this occurred, it was too late, and now it was in the hands of the common people. And this resulted in additional books being published, some underneath his name, even though he didn't actually write them, which was interesting. But it just kind of snowballed into this season where, you know, then we ended up with the printing press, and now books were being published that enabled the home herbalist and the home house, you know, the housewife to be able to decide, you know, not just the traditional, like, you know, some of these herbs would have been common knowledge passed down from grandmother to mother to daughter and so on. But some of the more complicated recipes that were being developed by doctors were also being shared. And so that became, it became a thing. I learned about this by reading some of his own, one of his own books, but also this really great, interesting book called The Herbalist, Nicholas Culpepper and the Fight for Medical Freedom, which I will include in the show notes as well. And so that was really interesting. I also read a great book about a year ago called The Social Transformation of American Medicine by Paul Starr. And this was a huge book. Some of it was a little bit on the dreary side reading about, but it was interesting reading about all the different varieties of medical methods, I guess, health methods that were popular throughout history, throughout American history, ranging from home herbalists all the way to specialized medicine, right from the beginning of colonial medicine up until the early 1900s when the book was originally written. And I felt like the author actually did a really good job offering an unbiased, relatively unbiased view of American medicine, which is difficult to do for a lot of people. So if you're very curious about the history of American medicine, I definitely recommend that book. But basically, American medicine has gone from a place where we assumed that all homes would have an herbalist, that all housewives would have some knowledge about basic herbs and especially spices and culinary herbs and how they could be used to promote health, to a place of deciding that herbalism was just a bunch of quackery, that it was nonsense, that there was no use in it, and that medicine was supposed to be, you know, the pharmaceutical version of plant medicine, where they would take specific components, you know, scientists started taking specific components, chemicals from within these plants and developing these medications that became inaccessible to the home herbalist and which only doctors could prescribe. And now we're coming back into this new season where people are able to work with plants again and realize the value in growing your own medicine and wild harvesting and being able to develop simple teas and tinctures and salves and all kinds of different food-based remedies. And people are healing and we're realizing that actually it wasn't a bunch of quackery. And that was a ploy to gain control, to take authority back from the people and distract them from believing that the authority was always with the people to begin with. Kind of frustrating, really. And the point is that no one has the right to make those claims for us. No one has the right to tell us what is right for us or wrong for us. It is wonderful that we've been able to develop medications. It is amazing that surgery and pharmaceuticals have come as far as they have, and they are very, very useful and very, very important. And at the same time, that does not mean that doctors completely have the right to decide what is right for us and what is wrong for us. they are not the gateway to health. We are the gateway to our own health, and that's really, really important. So that also means that no one has the right to tell us whether or not we can use garlic for heart health or lemon balm to ease our anxiety on a stressful day, or to work with yarrow for fevers even. These are things that we have always had the right to do. So the authority to practice herbalism for your family also belongs to you. True healing comes from within our own bodies. No one knows your body better than you do. And also, while your children are in your home, you are the authority figure for their own health. You know, if you are a tender, loving parent, and most parents love their children dearly and have their well-being as their highest priority, then you have the right to work with traditional medicines that have been worked with for millennia. Doctors and herbalists and other providers are simply resources to enable you to have the tools to do that with, to fulfill your natural obligation and your natural desire. We hire these providers when we need extra guidance, but the real work of health doesn't take place at a doctor's office. It takes place at home as we eat and sleep and laugh and walk and paint and drink our tea and do all the other things that create lasting, real health. Another quote that I have comes from Norman Cousins, who wrote Anatomy of an Illness, which was a fascinating autobiography about a man who healed himself from an autoimmune disease back in the 70s. And he said, quoting from another doctor, "Each patient carries his own doctor inside him. They come to us, the doctors, not knowing that truth. We are at our best when we give the doctor who resides within each patient a chance to go to work." True healing comes from within, and therefore the providers are simply resources to guide that natural healing process. And then I have another quote from, again, from The Herbalist's Way by Nancy and Michael Phillips. I have a couple more from them. This was actually a really, really helpful book in the early days of learning herbalism for myself. They said, "Many of us never learned what it means to take the time to be well. This ease invariably results, and then we look to the doctors to patch up our negligence. The healing plants will change few outcomes if we perceive that someone else is responsible for what happens in our lives. Under conventional medicine, people want to be taught, moved, treated, or guided, rather than to learn, to heal, and to find their own way. A heap of herbal supplements stacks up lightly against the recognition that your outlook and daily respect for your body play a pivotal role in health. A good herbalist will prompt you to make sound lifestyle choices and can recommend nourishing teas and tonic herbs, but getting involved with one's health goes even deeper. The sum of mind, body, and spirit reflects how we accept life and the daily challenges to our inner serenity. A positive attitude does more good than any drug. Good relations with family, friends, and community bring harmony to body systems as well. We may think we need a cure when all we actually desire is care, both for ourselves and flowing profusely in return. The responsibility for health lies forever within each of us. Affairs of the spirit might seem too simple to explain a chronic ailment, but they often are at the crux of the matter." And that was also a point emphasized in Anatomy of an Illness as well. And then finally, also Nancy and Michael Phillips, "Blindly relying on any authority figure in health matters is not good. Empowering people is fundamental to the work of herbalism. Just as the body knows the business of healing, each person can discern his or her best course of action given the right information. A healer needs to respect and honor individual choice." So working with a healthcare provider gives us the tools we need. They guide us in making the right choices. And ultimately, we know that the authority resides within us. The responsibility to take care of ourselves resides within us. Even if we were to say that a doctor is in charge or an herbalist is in charge of diagnosing, of prescribing, if the person then takes that medication or that herb back home and doesn't do anything with it, whose responsibility is that? Right? Even when we assume that a care provider is responsible for the decision making, if we don't enact that, if we don't use those resources, they do absolutely no good. Or if we use those medications or herbs, but we don't take the steps to improve our lifestyle, to work on our relationships, to have fun every day, to move our bodies, then those herbs and those medications are going to do very little good in retrospect, because we're not taking the responsibility to enact the things that are actually really important for long-term health. So even if we were to look at that extreme end of just assuming that our healthcare providers are in charge of our health, they can't be in our homes. They can't be living in our shoes. We are the ones that have to live with our choices. And so we have to take responsibility for our health. And we also have to understand that it is our choice how to take action based on the information we receive and based on the resources that we're given. And so I think that's really important to understand. And this may not, this is not a super lighthearted conversation. It's kind of a serious thing, but it's really important. If we're going to be assuming the role of home herbalist, to understand that this is a big deal, and it's really important for us. It's really important for our children, and also for the generations to come. Regardless of what other people think, this is our God-given role to take care of ourselves and to take care of our families, to take care of our children. And so this is not only our responsibility, but it's also a privilege. And the idea of you taking this information and learning more about your health and learning how to work with plants and learning how to improve your diet, these are all gifts that are really important for yourself and your family. And so that is honorable as well as being our responsibility. It's a privilege. It's a gift. And I just want to say, I appreciate that you're here, that you're learning how to do this, because this is going to make a big impact moving forward. We can see it already starting to happen among families in our country. And it's a really big, important thing. So continue to do the work, continue to learn, continue to be informed, to be careful in your decisions, and to keep up the work. Keep trying, keep experimenting, keep caring for your family. It's awesome. It's important. And we really are moving toward that vision of having a home herbalist in every family. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I hope this was encouraging to you today. If you would like to continue this conversation, I would encourage you to send me an email. I'm always willing to continue these conversations, and I love hearing from you and the impact that these topics are having on you and your loved ones. So you can reach me at laureltreewellness@gmail.com. And for all of the references that I gave in the course of this talk, including the names of the books and the links, they will all be in the show notes and in the additional resources for the students at Herba Remedium. Thank you for being here, for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will be back here again soon. So be well. Talk to you soon.
The Family Herbalism Podcast is created for educational purposes only. You are responsible for any and all medical and health decisions you choose to make. If you experience a medical emergency, please contact appropriate medical providers. To receive herbalist support, please visit www.laureltreewellnessllc.com. If you enjoy this podcast and find it helpful, please share it with your friends and family. Thank you for listening.